no authority when I see authority.
But they're not going to listen to me. Who sent you? There's something that we need to know too.
Suppose, Lord, what is his name?
You see, Egypt is full of gods. Moses knows those gods. Israel knows those gods. And I think they were so full of syncretism that many of them forget about the living God. And they are so mixed up with many of idol worship of the Egyptians. And there are gods galore, just like we have the gods of this world. And each god has a, you know, a specific function. And if you want prosperity, you pray to this god. If you want fertility, you pray to this god. If you want a good harvest, you pray to that god. If you want rain, you pray to that god. If you pray, you understand what I say. You know what I say. I don't want to spell it out. Egypt was full of them. And each one has a name. And they fear them. Now, I came with a strange god there and said, who are this God? Will they believe me? Will I have the authority? Or will I speak with such authority that they will believe me? Because you will hear in the tone of my voice if I can speak with authority or I am uncertain of what do you try to say here? That's the difference. Someone with authority and someone without it. You will see the difference. I think you can hear the difference. I think the demons can see the difference too. Who's got it and who's got it not? There was the sons of Sceva. They didn't have the authority. The same authority that Paul have. And Jesus have. And his disciples have. They just use this name as some sort of magic stick. You know. Achalai, machalai, hayundai, ba. And now something must happen. No. And then the demons turn around them and wounded them and they run away naked. Why? Because they didn't have the authority. Moses knew that. Lord, how can I speak with authority if I don't have it? I lost it there, Lord. And I can't go back there. Who are you? What's your name? You know, I have a few names here of the gods of Egypt. And Horus and Anum and Ra, the sun god, Set. Set is the god of war, of chaos, of storm. And each one have a specific role and a function. But none of them can compare with the living God. Israel know what is to be under gods. That's why God make the distinction between him and all of the gods of Egypt. I am the God of what? Of your fathers. I bring them to remembrance, my covenant that I have with Abraham, Isaac, and yes, the deceiver Jacob. I changed his name. I am the God of them. Your God. That is what. See how God responds positively. Because he knows the syncretism there. He knows it's just paganism. And my people are so entwined in it. There's only those. There's a remnant there. That's why many of them want to go back, want to come back. After God is taking them out of Egypt, they want to go back. And that's why that whole generation died out in the desert. Why? They don't believe God. They doubt him, they provoke him, they test him. And that's why he said they are a stiff-necked people. Many times he wants to wipe them out. And then this man, Moses, intercede for them. He was even willing that God would take his name out of the book of life. You say, Lord, rather take my name out there, please, but don't kill them. Wow. You see, God is not like these gods. He can be known. It was not so easy in the time of the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament. It was only possible when Jesus came to make him known. This God that is always clothed with clouds and thunder and is always mystic, if I put it in practice, I don't want to use the word mystic because it gives a strange idea that, you know, but he was always distant and he closed himself up. And it's not everybody that hear his voice. Many hear it is thunder, but Moses hear his voice. Moses sees something of this holy God. But they never could stand in a living relationship with him until Jesus came. So like all the other gods. The other gods, you can't have even a relationship with them. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter what they've done. Never. There's only one person, and he's a person. It's not a concept. It's not an abstract painting that you can't figure out what is it. It's a living person in Jesus Christ. To know him. I make your name known to them. What's your name? What is in a name? What is the meaning of your name? Did you ever think of that one? What is the meaning of my name? My name is Chris. Is Christu, Christian, Christ. If all those names, it means, if you look it up, the anointed one. What's the meaning of your name? What you do, what I do, is because I just left out my name. The meaning of my name. Some people's names has connected with gods. And then no wonder they live like pagans. Because they just, that influence, that connection with that god. Many of that names have a meaning connected to the gods. That's why many that I know that they sever that name and they change their name. I think in our context there's many here that change their name. When I came here, there was a guy with another name. He was actually known by this name. But he's now called this. Why? Because that name was connected with something you don't want to be. I don't want to be associated with any gods of this world. I want to be associated with God. Christ. I'm a Christian. Christ within. I've got a new name in glory. That's what the Bible teaches. He gives me a new name. I don't want to be known by my old name. No. Who is your name, Lord? I am the great I am. I am the Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You know, it's the only name that have this weight, that have value, that carry authority. And it is the only person that can appoint you and anoint you for the service that he wants you and me to do. Wow. What an honor. I want you to see this. I can't appoint myself, Lord. Remember also there is the fear of rejection there. What if they don't listen to me? What if? All the ifs. There's a few verses, and I don't want to stand still of all the verses here, but Jesus said, I have given you authority. It's me, in John 15, it's me who appointed you. It's me who go and search for you. It's me. You didn't appoint me, but you didn't choose me. I chose you. I choose you. I appoint you. And I want you to go and bear fruit. I want you to be my witness. I endowed you with my spirit. I delegate my authority to you. Luke 10 verse 19. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. And nothing will harm you. Well, that is figuratively speaking, the scorpions and the snakes and the... Don't go and pick up a snake here or a black mamba and try to play with it. You're going to bite you. It talks about evil people and the forces of darkness. I give you authority over them. Not over people, over the forces of darkness. We want authority over everybody, except we can't control ourselves. We want to control everybody else. But Jesus said, I give it to you. And what God gives, no one can take away from you. No one. I appoint you. And remember again, point means to draw face to face to him. Associate with him. I am in a covenant relationship with God. He's a covenant God. Again, he said, I am the God of your fathers. That is more than enough because they will know that. If they didn't forget it. Because Joseph has installed it while he was there. That's why Joseph asked, when you leave one day Egypt, I want you to take my bones back to the place with you, the place where God has promised to our fathers. You take my bones wherever they buried me. Dig it out. Take it with you. Take it with you. Because he trusts and he believes that promise what God gave to his forefathers. Might be 400 years later, but God's promises will always be fulfilled. God will never lie. Wow. In Philippians 2 verse 9 to 11, the Bible says, therefore God exalted him. Who is this him? That very same who is when Paul, before he became Paul, Saul, come down and hear this voice on the road to Damascus. Who are you, Lord? Addressed him as Lord. And he said, I am Jesus, the one that you are persecuted. Who are you? Who is this? He calmed the storms. He rebukes the wind. The disciples ask, who is this? Who's got such an authority? Jesus said, to me is given all authority in heaven, on earth. If he got all the authority, guess what? It means Satan has been defeated. That authority of him has been stripped. He's been disarmed. And God said, I give it to my church. And the devil can do you nothing unless you give him ground. I give you the authority over his authority. Wow. Do you know that? Do you know that? That you're experiencing that? I can see a lot of you have some question marks on your face. It looks like some of us don't really experience it because he's reigning in your life, eh? He's ruling with an iron fist. He's ruling. And God said, no, no, it's actually supposed to be the other way around. God gave him a name, exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name. You know, there was a video clip that I saw, I think in 2017, of a lady came from Hinduism. She was a daughter of a Brahman, and she had to memorize 2,000 names of their gods. 2,000 of them. Wow, that's a lot. How many of the names of God do we know? His attributes, how many of that? And then she says something amazing, that because she lived a lifestyle of suicide and she wanted to commit suicide, her life is messed up. And she stands one day before this huge statue and she pulls off that cloth that is around or over this statue. And she said she's at the place where she's not supposed to be in the temple, but she did it. And she saw something here and he can do nothing. He's got eyes and he can see me. He can't see me. He's got so many arms and he cannot touch me. And that night she sat in her car in her room and she wanted to commit suicide. And she called to Jesus and said, Lord, if you are real, show yourself to me. And then she said she experienced something enter her room. I dare to call him father, bulky shake, walk in a garden. She walked in her garden, she experienced something that she smelled something awesome, never smelled it in her life. How Jesus revealed him to her, them, this name above every other name. The demons are so afraid to call him Jesus or mention him as God. But they say here, says the Bible, every knee will bow. Every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and underneath the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And I have the thrill of my life when I see it, when they have to confess him in a counseling room that he is the Lord. He is God. Do you know that name? Not as a magic Achalai machalai, you know. Lord, I want this. Lord, I want this. In Jesus' name, I claim a name and frame it. No, but I stand in a living relationship. I want to know you, Lord. Who is this God? To an unknown God. Paul said, I want to make him known to you. You don't know him. I know him. And I want to make him known to you. That you also can come in a living relationship. Moses, I want my people to know me. I want them to know my name. Not just name like God or I am or Yahweh. I want to be in their midst. I want to have fellowship with them. They are mine. Satan, did you see my servant Job? Ownership, my servant, not yours, mine. You belong to me. Yeah, no wonder, Lord, I can't touch him. I know it. And I just paraphrase the story because I watch you, Satan. You can't touch him. Yes, because Job 1:10, you put the hedge around him. That's why. Yes, it's mine. It's not yours. My children are mine. Bought with my son's blood. It's mine. Why don't we live? Why don't we reflect something of our Father? He wants to use us, to send us, and give you the authority to go in his name. Oh, there's so many others. Awesome verses in Ephesians chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1. Sure, we will never come to an end to that. So the first thing is, I have no authority, Lord. God said, I'm going to give it to you. But also thirdly, Moses said here in the third excuse, what if, Lord? What if they do not believe or not listen to me? Now maybe I touch a sore point here. I don't have any credibility, Lord. Not just authority. I don't have any credibility, Lord. What if? Oh, you are that murderer that was hitting that Philistine. Now what, you want to tell us this? Come on, man. Credibility, Lord, I don't have it. What is credibility means? The quality or state of a thing which renders it possible to believe. I said something here that another definition of credibility, the quality of being trusted and believed in. Let's put it together, trustworthy, to be trusted, to believe in. I asked a question, I think, quite long ago. What do you prefer, to be loved or to be trusted? Which one will you prefer, to be loved or to be trusted? Which one do you think is higher? Well, it all depends. Some want to be loved. I would rather be trusted than be loved. Because it's not to say if you love someone, you trust him. I want to be trusted. I asked during April month a question when we talk about the fatherless generation. And I ask our fathers, our men who have children, can our wives and our daughters trust us? Why can't they? Can my daughter trust me? Is she safe in my presence? Isn't it one reason why we are on the streets? And I don't condemn. Because we have no credibility. We can't be trusted. We can't. Can I go deeper than that and say, can God trust me? We want Him to do everything for us. We want Him to give us gifts. We want the powerful gifts. All we want power. We don't want the gift of to help, to be a helper. No, we want to be in the limelight and we want to be that power gifts and we want, you know. Can God even trust me then with that? If I am not faithful with the little that He entrusted to me, why do I want more? He can't give me more if I can't look after this watch. This is a cheap watch. I don't want an expensive watch. This is a cheapie. And it works better than a 100 rand one. Really, it even keeps time. You know how much, many times I go through watches in my life. They don't last long. And then it's expensive watches. And I bought me a cheapie. I'm amazed that he's still keeping time. Doesn't give up on me. Can God trust us? I have no credibility, Lord. There's an awesome verse in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21. It said, but a little bit background, Moses was busy with, he's the counselor, he's the preacher, he's the pastor, he's everything for Israel. 3 million people plus, and yet through his father-in-law say, what you do is not right. This thing that you do is wrong. Get and, you know, select people, man. Select men that can help you. But this is what you have to do. This is the way you select them, or looking for this. He say, select capable men. Not just select your buddies. You know, let they do the job because it's a lot of pay maybe. They can't even do the job but they want the pay. He say, no. He say, but select capable men from all the people. Men who fear God. Men who are trustworthy, who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over 1,000, 150, and 10s, according to their capability. Many are not capable to handle 1,000, but they want 1,000. They can hardly manage 10, but they want 1,000. Your church will not grow if you can't even handle 10, but you want to handle 1,000. I don't think God gonna send you 1,000 if you can't even handle the 10. I learned that lesson long time ago. But I want more, Lord, I want more. Can you handle that what you got? If you have barely time for them, how are you gonna have time for 1,000? No. Do I have credibility? If you can read, I'm not gonna read it to you. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1 to 5, and I can sum it up. I will show you a man with credibility, with trustworthiness, and that's the man Samuel. When he gave his farewell speech, he asked him, he challenged the nation, whom of your ox did I desire? Whom of your donkey do I desire? Nothing, and he spelled it out. He spell it out. And what I like of that is what the nations say, the people say to him in 1 Samuel chapter 12. Just those words. Because he confront them. That I desire, that I ask this from you, that I take that from your hand, that I bribe you, that I threaten you. And then the people speak up. Samuel asks, "From whose hand have I accepted a bribe to make me shut my eyes? If I have done any of these, I will make it right." And then the nation say, "You have not cheated or oppressed us," they replied. "You have not taken anything from anyone's hand." And then he said, "God is today our witness against us. I did nothing." Credibility. Trustworthy. If I have to go into what the Bible says, can I trust God? The Bible is full of that. You can trust God. Let me give you one verse, and my time is out. One verse that you can know, you can always, always trust God. Numbers. The first verse that I learned when I do the EE3 is Numbers 23, verse 19. "God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill?" He's not like us. He say something, he do it. He promised, he give. I love what Uncle Barnes said. God don't say, "Oops, I make a mistake." God don't have such thing in his vocabulary. How is it that we lost our credibility? That's why we are where we are. Can we trust? Be trusted? No. That's why we are where we are. We can't. How many times did we say, "I'm sorry," but we never mean it? How many times we say things and promise things, we never mean it, or seldomly mean it? There's ways I will maybe continue later on. How can I develop my credibility? Maybe I can do it next time. There's a man, I put it in brackets, a prophet. Every Tom, Dick and Harry want to be a prophet. God says this and God says that, and then I feel already inside not the peace of God. Yay, there's too much God say this, God say that. And I said one day to him, "You must be very, very careful to say God said this and God said that, because a prophet is known by the words of his mouth if it comes to pass. And the office of a prophet is long time felt and it is finished." We have the prophetic word. What more I need? Everything I need is in here. More of that, be careful. And I said, why? Because your credibility is going to be sacrificed of that. So one day he did say, God said to this particular person that he's not going to die, God going to heal him. I buried him. But he make an open declaration, God said he's going to heal him. Your credibility is down the drain. And guess what? The people who believe you too, because they sit with false hope. God don't gossip. I stand in a living relationship with him. And he can speak. It needs only an ear to hear him. Lord, how gonna we build our credibility? Our trustworthy? How? Maybe you can ponder about that. Because Jesus himself, as I can use him as a man, an icon of credibility, I can say nothing out of myself except what I heard from my Father. Whatever I see from my Father, whatever I hear from my Father, I do it and I say it. No one can put the finger on me that I have done anything wrong. Who can convict me of sin? No one. That's credibility. I say what I say. I mean what I say. I don't say one thing and do another thing. My words and my actions match. Sometimes I say this and I do this. It match. Is our match? Maybe we have something to process. Why don't I have the credibility? If you want to be trusted, can you trust yourself? You want others to trust you? You want God to trust you? What's lacking there? I think we have something to take to God and say, "Lord, help me in this area." Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the life of Moses. A man that I believe just like David after your heart. A man that I can learn from, sit at his feet. It's the man who, Lord, said, "Sure, I think one day when we saw him, we will also stand in awe." Because on the Mount of Transfiguration, it was him and Elijah standing with you, transformed in something heavenly. Wow. The two witnesses. Sure. And we learn from this man of God, who is even willing to let his name be blotted out in the book of life to spare Israel. What an intercessor, what a heart of humbleness to say, Lord, I can't appoint myself. Lord, I have, maybe I cannot say fear in my heart, because I have no credibility. Last time I checked, I was a murderer, and I run for my life. Oh Lord, I pray that you will make us alive unto your word. Help us to deal with credibility and trustworthiness and integrity. It's a whole package together, so that we can also be known as men and women of God, of integrity, of credibility. I can trust him. I can trust her. I can believe that. I can look at his track record. Oh God, help us in this area and be the after speaker of your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.